Hey everybody, this is Ali Ciardo with the Photo Field Notes podcast, and today's interview is with Lauren Carnes, and I want to tell you just a little bit about why I'm excited about my interview with Lauren and why I think it's going to inspire you. So Lauren is this perfect example of somebody who started a career in a completely different area, but then she took her skills from that career and applied them so perfectly into her career as a photographer, and I think it's such a great example of how you can start thinking about how can I take the skills that I already have that are unique to me that maybe other photographers don't have and start to apply those skills to my own business so that I can stand out in my market. So here it goes.
Welcome to the Photo Field Notes podcast, where you'll find stories, tips, and inspiration from professional photographers to get you taking action in your own business and making your business dreams a reality.
Hey everybody, this is Ali Ciardo, and today I'm talking with Lauren Carnes, and I met Lauren out in San Francisco at the Rising Tide Society Leader Conference and had like a great little chat with her. She gave a really great speech to everybody that got us all inspired right at the beginning of the conference. So I thought, you know what, we need to share Lauren's story today. So Lauren, I always ask everybody just to start with, and I know this is a really general question, but I want to hear your story because everyone gets into photography through a different route. This is not a traditional job where you go to school for it, get your first job and work your way up. Like everyone has a different story. So start at the beginning and tell me about your background and how you got into photography and how your business became what it is today.
Absolutely. Well, first off, I'm so excited to be here. So Ali, thank you so much for having me. And you're right, it was so fun getting to meet you in San Francisco officially. But yeah, okay, my story, gosh. So we'll start back in high school. I was the yearbook editor of our high school yearbook, as I have talked to actually many people in the creative industry who identify with that, who are on the yearbook team, that sort of thing.
I was absolutely on the yearbook team from my freshman year on, so I definitely really...
Yeah, it's a fun place to be in high school. We enjoyed, we had a lot of fun, and it kind of let us have a little bit of that creative outlet. I was also a cheerleader, so I would go to cheerleading practice and then go and do lunchtime yearbook work. So it was great. And that's kind of where I started. That's where I really started getting my hands on the camera for the first time in a greater capacity. That was more than just a point and shoot, if you will. So I started doing that and having a little bit of design in there as well, and really started learning about what it looks like to kind of interview people and hear their stories and share their stories well. So that is where kind of that whole situation started for me. And I went to college thinking I wanted to be a graphic designer because yearbook had kind of spurred that in me.
So far, your entire story is exactly my story, just so you know.
Yes. Keep going. It's so funny that we have such similar backgrounds. I love it.
It is.
So I went in thinking I wanted to be a graphic designer, and then I realized that I had to go through the art school in order to do that. And I am not necessarily like an incredible painter or drawer, so I got a little intimidated. And so I decided that I was going to do advertising instead because I would still get to interface with the graphic designers and be able to kind of serve as that project manager of sorts with the graphic design. I have a good eye for it, but I can't necessarily do it exactly. So yeah, I started doing, going with the intention of doing advertising and realized that really what I wanted to do in advertising was I still wanted to do graphic design. So it wasn't really kind of fitting what I had intended for it to be. And instead, I decided that I was either going to do PR or marketing. Marketing meant that I had to do the accounting classes, and that was scary because now I have an accountant who's amazing, so you can see where that led to. So instead, I decided I would be a PR major, which I thought it was, you know, public relations. It's relating to the public. I enjoy talking to people. I enjoy making friends. I am pretty outgoing. I'm an ENFJ, so I love to talk to all the people and connect with people quickly and share stories in that way. So I went into PR and started working during college as I got an amazing job as the marketing director of the Chick-fil-A in my college town sort of thing. And so I started kind of planning events and would take photos there for the events, which was kind of where the photography came back into play. It kind of just kept being part of my story and being part of my career, if you will, even though I was never really actually a photographer during those points in time. And then same thing, once I finished up with my job as the marketing director, I started working at a PR agency for about 5 years, and I was the first full-time employee for this particular agency. So I got to have my hands in a lot of different pots and experience a lot of different things in the entrepreneurial life, if you will. And some of my clients included clients like Nike and Airstream and the John Maxwell Company. So at age 22, 21, around that age, I was managing some pretty big name clients and helping tell their stories digitally, so in a social media capacity, or in a capacity of public relations. So I would essentially pitch reporters on why you should write a story about a Nike store opening. So that's kind of the storytelling continued. So it started with yearbook, and I had the camera in hand, and it went along, and it came through and telling these stories of kind of the chicken story, if you will, at Chick-fil-A and the families who would come in there, and then continued through my agency days. And I started realizing that I had kind of a creative itch again. You know, I was getting to write, and I loved writing, and I loved doing this storytelling, but I also was missing that aspect of kind of picking up the camera, and started deciding that I was just going to see what it looked like to essentially second shoot for some weddings here and there. So I started shooting friends' engagement sessions for free to get some experience, and realized that I actually really enjoyed photography in a greater capacity than just carrying around the camera for friends' get-togethers. And I started second shooting. I second shot for about a year straight for weddings for some incredible photographers in the Atlanta area. And I would drive, I would work full time all during the week, and I would edit in the evenings and kind of build this business in the evenings. And then on the weekends, I would drive from Athens to Atlanta or surrounding areas and go and second shoot weddings. And oftentimes I would second shoot them for free just to get experience and build my portfolio. And in December of that year, I decided that it was time to go ahead and kind of test out my chance at being a first shooter, if you will. So I was the primary shooter at my first wedding. And that was kind of it scratched that itch a little bit and said, okay, this is time. It's time to do it. So I launched my business in May of that following year. And I am coming on, I guess at the end of this month, it'll be 2 years of being a full-time photographer. And in May, it'll be 3 years of owning my own business. And it's just been a wild ride in so many ways, and such a lot of fun being able to build what I originally started as a wedding photography business that then quickly kind of launched into weddings and food and branding and lifestyle, and then actually kind of took a little bit of a full circle, if you will, incorporating back in my storytelling and my brand strategy and my communications side of my work as well. So I get to do a little bit of all of those things right now, and it's a lot of fun just to incorporate all of my loves into one career and get to kind of be able to impact a wide variety of creatives in that way. So it's a lot of fun.
Okay, side note, just for fun, this is totally not related, but so I was the same. I studied advertising. I ended up working in a PR agency. My first client was a meat client. It was turkey, not chicken. It was Jennie-O Turkey.
Yeah.
And then I went on to work for New Balance, not Nike, but I'm just sitting here laughing.
How funny.
Isn't that hilarious? Yeah.
That's amazing.
All these similarities. Okay, so let's go back. So you started your business, you shot your first wedding, you officially started your business, and it sounds like there was about a 1 year transition from the time that you started your business to the time that you went full time. Talk about that transition for a minute.
Yeah, so I had actually, you know, it seems really logical. I think back on this and I look and I say, what was I thinking? But I actually went part time at my job that I've been working at the agency at the same time that my husband graduated from medical school. We moved to a new city where I knew no one. We bought a house, and my husband started a job where he worked about 80 to 100 hours a week. So I launched a business at that same time and was navigating what it looked like to not only be a small business owner, but also to kind of change and transition out of a full-time job that I had been doing for years and had become really established in, that I felt really confident and comfortable in, into a season where I felt like I literally knew nothing of what I had been doing. And so I had been second shooting, like I said, for a while. So I had some weddings that first year. I launched my business in May, and my goal was to shoot 5 weddings that rest of the year. And I shot 8. So I was pretty excited about it. You know, I felt like I was like, okay, we're moving, we're grooving, things are happening. My goal for the next year was to double that. So it was to shoot 16 in that first full year of business. At this point, I was still working part-time at the agency, but also was kind of running essentially a full-time business on the side. And so I know so many people can identify that and understand that transition. It's kind of hard to manage everything, but you just kind of figure it out. And I quickly realized when I had officially booked 24 weddings for that first year of business, that it was not going to be possible for me to sustain a lifestyle that would allow me to build a business, shoot 24 weddings, and also maintain and effectively do my job at the agency. And I absolutely love my company that I used to work for. The people are incredible people. And we have been kind of discussing this process of the transition out. So I was fortunate enough to be able to essentially train people up and equip them well so that when I left, it was like nothing ever changed. So it's kind of funny. It feels weird to say that, like, by the time I left, they really didn't need me anymore. But that was my goal, is that they would feel confident in knowing, because I didn't want to leave them high and dry. It's really important to me that people feel equipped and things like that. And so we kind of planned ahead knowing that my weddings were getting booked quickly. But during that season, it was just a lot. There is a lot to manage and a lot of expectations that whether other people are putting them on you, or in my case, and in many of our cases, you are putting on yourself. And that's really difficult to deal with. And so I think that that was definitely one of the hardest things during that season, was wondering if I even had what it took, first of all. And then once I realized that people actually believed in me, actually believing in myself, and then actually executing on it well to make sure that I was doing the work that I had been able to book, you know? So it was an interesting season, but I'm super grateful for it because it definitely challenged me to really think through what I want my business to look like.
Yeah. And in that, so you said you moved. How far did you actually move?
So I moved, let's see. I grew up in the Atlanta area, and then Athens is about an hour and 30 minutes from my hometown. And then from Athens to Augusta, which is where we live now, which is where the Masters is, if anyone is a golf fan, we have Masters coming up here soon. Athens to Augusta is about an hour and 45 minutes away. So effectively, I've lived in about a 3-hour radius from my hometown my entire life, which is a kind of funny thing. But it was good in that I was able to move from Athens and still built a clientele in the Atlanta and Athens areas, even when I didn't know anyone in Augusta, which was really great.
Yeah, that was my next question. So when you were working part-time, did you go remote for the job?
I did.
And then the weddings, you could take the weddings in Atlanta, you could take the weddings in Athens, you could really, so you have been driving for these weddings.
I have been driving a lot. There has been a lot of driving in the last 3 years of my life. And I put a lot of miles on my car. I got a new car strictly because I knew that I needed to be able to have good gas mileage. And it was a good decision because I've been doing a lot of driving. Most of my weddings are about a 3-hour radius from my house. I do a lot of weddings on the coast of South Carolina and Georgia, so in places like Charleston and Savannah and St. Simons, and then all the way to Atlanta and Athens, and then in between. Augusta is right in between. About Charleston is 3 hours away, and then Atlanta is about 3 hours away. So I'm central to a lot of really great cities.
That's fun, though. You have a lot of variety.
Yeah.
I do want to jump in before we get too much into, I know now you have a really cool angle with your photography business. Before we get into that, though, I know that listeners are probably thinking, okay, Lauren, and I try to kind of call people out to make sure that they're telling the whole story. Okay, Lauren, you started your business, you shot your first wedding, boom, 24 weddings? Okay, obviously, it doesn't necessarily just work where you wish for these weddings and they're going to come your way and then that's it. You have to really work hard for it. So where did those weddings come from, especially in that first year where you really, really ramped up?
That is such a great question. So I always tell people that it's nice in theory to have a business, but if no one knows about the business that you have or the work that you're doing, then they're not going to book you for it. So I actually, when I first moved to Augusta and had no clients, I had booked a couple weddings that were in that first eight that I mentioned. I had booked a few of those already, but I realized that most of the people that I knew still thought of me as just a communications professional, as just a public relations person. They didn't actually know that I was a photographer because I had been kind of shooting a little bit under the radar as a second shooter. I was actually a third shooter. It was a husband and wife team. So I kind of just was there to build my portfolio and be able to do the work. And so I realized when I first launched my business that in order to get people to book, I actually needed to show them that I was actually a photographer. So I started actually shooting food at my house because I was very lonely, didn't know anyone here. And the one thing that I knew that I could access easily was the dinner that I was making. I love to cook, I love to host people and serve. And so I started cooking for myself and just shooting to be able to put out work that would show that I was actually a photographer, that I knew how to use a camera, and that I hadn't just picked it up out of the blue. And so from there, I really equipped and mobilized the people who I knew who were either getting married or had friends who were getting married, and shared the content with them and essentially invited them to refer me. All of those referrals almost in that first year either came from word of mouth. So it was either friends getting married or friends of friends or siblings of friends. And then in addition to that, I did a lot of style shoots right off the bat. And I was very fortunate that because my background is in PR and marketing, PR and marketing come natural to me in the sense of knowing where to find my ideal and target audience and how to communicate with them effectively. And that is really what I encourage people to do, is that if you have a business that you've gotten started and you don't really know where to begin, really where you begin is figuring out how you can show what you are doing to the people who would want to purchase what you are doing. And so that's where I just started. I found the people who were getting married and I priced myself accordingly, knowing that oftentimes they were on a budget and I was new. But I kind of took Jasmine Starr's approach, where every three weddings that I booked, I raised my prices $300. And so it allowed me very quickly to be able to say, people, the supply and demand is real. That is an economic principle. My husband's an econ major. So supply and demand, if the supply is limited, aka wedding weekends are limited, but the demand is high, raising prices allowed me to show that people were willing to pay and willing to support this business that I was building. And so I used style shoots to build my portfolio, and I submitted them often. And one of my first, actually my first style shoot I ever did, so it was still when I was shooting with a 6D, before I had even upgraded to a 5D Mark III, which is what I shoot with now. I shot a styled shoot with one of my dear friends, Mary Lisa of Martell Event. She's an incredible, incredible planner. And it got published in print. And it was the first styled shoot I had done. And it really did kind of set the stage, saying for people to look and say, if her work is worthy enough to be put in print, then I could see her being a viable option as my wedding photographer. So having that third party endorsement, having referrals from other people, and making great vendor connections quickly was what really kind of set the scene and set the standard for the type of work that I was able to do and willing to do as well.
That's a great inspiration for using your resources and just taking action and making it happen for yourself. And I'm sure once you had that styled shoot in print, that was definitely a confidence booster for you, so that you could start going out there and feeling like, you know what, I am worth it. I can do this.
Right. Because it is so hard right off the bat. It's hard to believe that your work is good enough. And even still, I mean, 3 years in, I still feel that way. We have those feelings every day. And I'm sure everyone listening to this feels that way often, where they just look and they're like, I don't even know. Is this good? I don't even know.
Absolutely. It's, yeah, the torture of being a creative entrepreneur.
Exactly.
All right, let's get into there. You know, you talked about a couple of things. First of all, I know the food focus is really interesting for you. And also, you kind of position yourself, you have this interesting angle. So you're a wedding photographer, but really, when you go to your website, it's very clear that you're more than that. You are a photographer, you're a brand builder, you're a food photographer, you're a storyteller. So talk about how all those past experiences come in and converge to create the brand that you present out to the world.
Absolutely. So I like to think of it this way. I come at it from the perspective of that I am a storyteller. I have the opportunity right now, for example, with a camera to be able to tell the story through the lens. I also am a copywriter and a communication strategist and a brand strategist for some amazing brands, and get to come alongside them to tell their stories. And that is done through kind of the clacking at the keys and the actual writing out great copy and really engaging stories for these people. In the end, it all comes back to kind of being a storyteller and allowing people to tell their stories and build their brand effectively in order to showcase who they are. So for me, I'm not just a wedding photographer, and I love weddings, and weddings allow me to serve and encourage people in a season of life that is really stressful, which is kind of where a lot of times it comes back to for me, is being able to serve and encourage. And so weddings are a great place to do that, but I also can do that through something like a food blogger who is testing out new recipes and wants to be able to showcase their work in a better way, or a restaurant owner who wants to be able to get their dishes in a publication for print. Ultimately, it always comes back to telling their story and being able to tell the story of the types of work that they do and be able to actually take their business to the next level. So kind of giving them a roadmap of how to communicate their efforts well. And so that is done for me through this idea of being able to showcase on my website that not only am I a wedding photographer, but I'm also a food photographer and a travel photographer. Travel is kind of in my blood. I just love it. And so it comes into telling the story of food often really well. And in the same way, I also really am kind of moving in this new direction of being able to actually come alongside creative and food-based businesses to help them build out a communication strategy to ensure that they are communicating effectively with their target audience and actually booking clients in the way that they would like to. So I kind of try and think of it as, how am I going to tell this story through the work that I'm doing? And ultimately, if my target audience for a wedding day is someone who is really excited about not only the wedding, but ultimately the marriage, then how can I show that through what I'm communicating, even in a simple way, talking about on my social media, for example, that my husband and I are making dinner tonight, and here's a photo of that picture of dinner. And so it's just subtle things that communicate the values and the ideals of what my types of clients care about. And that helps ultimately tell my story and then allows me to effectively say, hey, if this resonates with you, then I can tell your story well, whether it's through the camera, through the lens, or through copywriting for a website, for emails, for social content, that sort of thing.
That's a great way to bring it back around. And actually, that kind of answers my next question. I was going to ask you, how do you balance these different sides to your company? Because you have one side that's direct to consumer, let's say weddings or portraits. And then you have the other side that you're working with businesses where you're helping them with their, let's say, food photos or branding and getting more into the strategy on that side. So talk a little bit more. You've kind of touched on it, but how do you balance that out in the way that you present your brand across those different areas?
Absolutely. That is such a great question because it is something that we kind of, you know, we struggle with a lot. I've even heard people in working alongside for communications coaching clients and for some brand strategy work that I've done, people saying, I feel like the only people who follow me on social media are photographers. Like, what do I do? They're not the kind of people who are going to be booking me as a photographer. Like, I don't need more photographers to follow me. But ultimately, I kind of think of it in the way of ultimately, no matter what we are doing, we are doing a service, essentially. Whether you are an artist or a maker or, for this case, a photographer, you are providing a service, even if you do provide a product in the end. And for me, I think of it that if you're providing a service, then ultimately you are providing a service that only you can do. It's kind of that differentiating factor that if people are hiring me, whether it's for photography work or for brand strategy and communications work, they are hiring me for me. And so the way that I present my brand is from the perspective of telling my own story. And I don't have to share the kitchen sink. You know, I'm not sharing everything personal. There are certainly things that I leave out that I don't think are pertinent to the conversation. But I share about my own personal story in order to showcase what it is that I do in the work that I do in the life that I live, to affirm for clients who have already booked me that they've made the right decision, to affirm for clients who are thinking of potentially booking me that I am the right decision. And then finally, for the people who aren't even really interested, that they would just, like, they're not interested in booking, for example, they're just following along for fun, that I live a life that inspires and encourages them right where they are. Because a lot of times people are in a similar season to where Allie, you and I were when we worked in PR and we knew that there was maybe something a little bit different. We didn't know what it was. We maybe were feeling that creative itch. But I want people who follow me, no matter who they are, if they're the type of person who is a someone who would click that buy now button or not, I want them to feel as though they can gain something from interacting with my brand, from engaging with my brand. And ultimately, I can draw people in through something like Instagram stories. That's one way that I love to do this. I draw them in by posting a great photo that I've taken with my DSLR camera on Instagram, sharing an engaging caption that tells the story of the work that I'm doing, and then directing people to stories to learn more, to engage more. Where on stories, it's a little bit less curated. You know, our brands, we tell our stories so in such a curated fashion now with the way that Instagram is and the way that our websites consistently need to look prim and proper. And I will tell you, if you go look at my website right now, like, there's so much work to it that I know that needs to be done because my business is in a little bit of a season of transition. But I also know that the website isn't the only place that people can engage. It is their first touch point, perhaps, if they happen to find me through my website. But if they end up connecting via something like Instagram stories, that is a place where they can engage with who I am as a person. They can engage with my brand on a deeper level, and that I might have my hair pulled back in a ponytail and my glasses on every day sitting in my office showing my face on Instagram stories. And it gives it a little bit more of a genuine and sincere fashion to it where people can connect quickly, even if they don't quite know what they're hiring you for yet or if they even want to hire you. So that's kind of how I bring everything in together to make sure that it all connects. Because I do know that there are a lot of different things that I'm doing. But I think that the value of being able to kind of hone in on what your story is and what story you're telling and then who you're talking to really allows you to kind of guide your communications across all platforms.
And I love this word. I use this word a lot too. You said touch points. So I always talk about touch points and the touch points that I have with my clients and, you know, potential clients and so forth. So going into that touch point area, so you've talked about kind of telling your story in the different ways. Go into a little bit, just for a minute, on the more the business to business side. So you know you have your wedding side and the way they might come through your website or they might come from referral or these different areas and get to know you and fall in love with you and say, yes, she needs to be a part of my wedding. What about those businesses? How do they find you? What are those touch points that lead to them wanting to work with you?
Perfect. Okay. So a lot of times the way that people initially connect with me through kind of those touch points is through social media. It's something like the Explore tab or like the Instagram stories where someone just happens to follow along and be like, this girl's kind of fun and unique and kind of quirky. Because especially on something like Instagram stories, I don't really hold back. Like, I am my true, normal, authentic, if you will, self on something like that. And so if people, especially in the business realm, who are looking to either, I do a lot of kind of photographer and communications coaching. If people are looking to build their brand and what they see through those touch points resonates with them, then likely that is an opportunity for them to say, okay, she might be the kind of person that I would like to work with. Because ultimately, like I said, we're providing a service. And they want to be served by someone that they feel like they could actually be friends with or that they want to spend time with on a day-to-day basis. And there's that no like trust factor, right? You want those touch points to be able to say for whomever this business owner is, that they would recognize that, yes, they know who you are, that they like you, and that ultimately they trust you, because people buy from people that they like and trust. So that's the initial touch point. And then I am very much the kind of person who I want, like I said, I want to serve and encourage people. And a lot of that time, that comes from adding value to their lives, whether it's through just an uplifting post, or a lot of times lately it is through my email marketing. I have loved being able to use email to provide great content and valuable opportunities for people to learn how to build their businesses. And I recognize that the majority of the people on my email newsletter are businesses. They are not my brides, and they are not my grooms, and they are not even really the restaurant owners or the food bloggers. They are primarily other photographers and other communications people, other artists and makers, wedding planners, who want to learn how to market and communicate about their business well. So that's kind of where I bring them on that pipeline, if you will. I kind of think of it as the customer experience. So before even they buy in, potentially with a dollar amount, they are buying into my brand. They are building that know, like, trust factor with me, and they might follow me on Instagram stories, and then or on Instagram, and then they might go and look at my Instagram stories and be like, this girl seems like she kind of knows what she's talking about, I guess, generally. I like to think maybe sometimes that I do, but most of the time I'm probably just looking like a crazy loon on Instagram. It's just fine. But then I might, in my Instagram caption or on my stories, I might mention that I shared something on my newsletter and direct them in the link in my profile of Instagram to go and sign up for my newsletter, where then they might get access to things like a step-by-step recipe for building a signature brand voice, or encouraging emails that come into their inbox every Thursday. I kind of title them this concept of Thursdays at the table, because I think that a lot of our life is done around a table. I love food. It incorporates my foodiness into it. And it allows me to kind of just pop into their email once a week to be able to say, here's what I have to offer this week. Here's the value that I have to add. And ultimately, it's building those touch points. And through things like social media and through the email newsletter, I get responses all the time of people saying, how can I hire you? How can I have you do this for me? And then even more than that, I aim to get people on either Skype or Google Hangouts, actually getting face-to-face with someone to engage with them just as friends. My dear friend Raina Pomeroy of Raina & Co., and she leads the Heart-Centered Biz Bosses group, has this concept of social glue coffee chats that I just love. And it's the idea that if we just get on coffee chats to essentially build relationships with people, not seeing it as a networking opportunity, but to be able to grow in our businesses strictly by actually making friendships, then there is so much value to be had and added into our lives and ultimately our businesses. And that's kind of how I see it, is that my goal when I moved here was just to start connecting with people in person. And in the same way as I kind of serve more B2B, just connecting with people online and making great friendships and relationships and letting those touch points continue. Once we meet online, go and follow them on social media or vice versa. So many of my friends that I've made, I have met on Instagram. and just continuing building those relationships to ultimately be able to, for those B2B opportunities, for those businesses, my goal once again is just to serve and encourage. And right now that looks like through helping people craft their content and craft their communication strategy and photograph their lifestyle branding imagery, things like that. So it just, once again, builds those touch points, builds that know, like, trust, and allows us really to connect and build relationships.
Okay, that's amazing. So first of all, you already answered my previous question was going to be taking people through the whole touch point, where taking them from social media and actually inviting them to take it one step further, which you completely covered. So you are actually inviting them. You're not just putting it out there and always, and sure, some people will just naturally click through, but you're actually inviting them to click through, join your newsletter, et cetera. And then I absolutely love this idea of, I mean, it's what we're doing right now. We can see each other face to face. Listeners won't be able to see this, but we can see each other on Skype. You know, we're in different parts of the country, but it's so valuable. Instagram is great, but I think you can get a little bit lost in Instagram.
You can.
You can get a little bit lost in the heart emojis and the heart eyes and the, you know, and just being like, I love, and I do, like, I love this, but like, take it one step further, take it beyond, I love this, this is beautiful, like, talk, have a conversation, and that is everything.
Yeah, just allows us to connect on a deeper level, and it almost builds that opportunity of saying kind of the me too. And I've heard so many times, and I 100% agree, that just having the conversation and seeing that, you know, for those of you can't see us right now, but we're both hair pulled back and, you know, looking kind of like we've just been sitting in our yoga pants all day. And I think it's absolutely appropriate for us to remember that a little bit of vulnerability can go a long way in realizing that we are all just business owners trying to do this life together. And yes, sometimes it looks like we have it all together, but a lot of times these opportunities just connect in person or online and see each other just brings a little bit more of a human level to it. We are normal people, and that's the cool thing about it.
Yeah, can I tell that story?
Yeah.
Okay, so Lauren emailed me this morning. She's like, Allie, can you tell me, is this going to be a video? Are you putting this video out there? Because I need to know whether I need a shower, because I'm going to hot yoga and I don't need to shower twice a day otherwise. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's totally audio only. I'm just going to put my hair back and wear yoga pants. You're good to go.
And that's the thing. Most of the times, most people actually are surprised when they meet me in person and I like have makeup on, because they see me on Instagram stories without makeup and with my glasses and just doing business life. Like, we're at home. I don't see anyone during the day. So I'm not going to pretend like I look perfect every day of the week, because I just don't.
So true. I have very little reason to put makeup on most of the time.
Yep.
So the last thing I want to talk about, and this really ties in well with the whole like taking relationships one step further and having offline relationships. I know that you're a really big part of the Rising Tide Society. You're really involved with that. So talk about that a little bit. Why you got involved, what you love about the Rising Tide Society. Tell people, for those who don't know what it is, just tell us a little bit about that.
That's great. So I actually got involved with the Rising Tide Society because, remember when I told you that I moved to Augusta and didn't know anyone and wanted to make friends and was sitting at home by myself all the time with just nowhere to go? I actually had followed Natalie Frank, who is one of the founders, on Instagram, and she posted that she was going to just be getting together on a Tuesday with some friends for coffee who are in the creative entrepreneur space. And it was going to be kind of a monthly thing. And if anybody else in the nation wanted to do that, just to let her know. And I said, well, guys, what do I have to lose? I might end up just having coffee by myself, but I may end up making some great friendships here in this new city. So I emailed her and said, I'm in. Let me know what I need to do. And when Rising Tide launched, there were 12 cities, and Augusta happened to be one of the 12. And Rising Tide is an organization for creative entrepreneurs that are dedicated to living in this fashion of community over competition. And it is designed to be able to allow people to get in person and interact on a monthly basis on topics, everything from personality types to content strategy to finances, the sticky nitty gritty stuff, also the really fun stuff. And it just gives people a place to connect and help build their businesses alongside other creative entrepreneurs. So I got involved in that way first, just saying, yes, I would love to lead our local group. And it has just transformed our local city and has been such an incredible opportunity for me and so many other people to connect. And those 12 cities quickly grew to where we are over 200 cities now across the world of people who meet monthly and connect in the spirit of community over competition. And I have the opportunity. I actually joined the team in August of last year. I work as part of the communications team for Rising Tide and HoneyBook as a whole. And I have the opportunity to help kind of navigate what the communication strategy looks like for Rising Tide Society and speak into next steps for whenever we're coming up with new projects or initiatives or events. And so it's a huge honor and so much fun and such an incredible team. And if you are not a part of the Rising Tide Tuesdays Together group, you absolutely need to go to risingtidesociety.com to find if there is a local group in your area. And if there is not, if this is something that you're interested in, you can, of course, reach out to me. But there is actually a place just online to be able to submit to actually apply to lead a group in your local city if it's something that you think you'd be interested in. But it has just transformed the landscape of the creative culture in the world. And I have just been so honored to be a part of it. And once I came on board, I actually had joined the RTS team just for a two-day little stint to be able to essentially train them on PR strategy and on how to share the message and story of Rising Tide well. And very shortly thereafter, they actually hired me on as a contractor, and I have been working with them ever since. So right now we're recording in mid-March, so it's been since August. And I just love being able to work with them. And that's actually how Allie and I met, was through Rising Tide. It was at the Leaders Retreat. And it's just such a blast to be able to help be a part of that and also kind of help creative entrepreneurs grow and excel in their businesses in that way. So it's a lot of fun. If anyone is interested, you should absolutely check it out and just see if it might be something that you'd like to get on board with.
And I love, the thing I really love about that is that you basically said, raise your hand and do it. And if there isn't one in your city, raise your hand. And I think that that philosophy applies to just about everything in life. Don't be afraid to be the one to raise your hand. You know, why sit around and wait for someone else to do it? For all these things in life, I can trace so many of my biggest like business and life successes and the things that are the most gratifying back to me just saying, you know what? I'll raise my hand. Why not? You know, why not me? So you should ask yourself, why not me? Why can't I do that?
That is exactly it.
All right, Lauren, it's been super fun. I want to wrap up by just telling listeners where they can find you.
Absolutely. So you can find me on, my website is laurencarnes.com. It's LaurenCarnes. And so laurencarnes.com. You can also find me on Instagram, which is kind of where I live, if you will. It is Lauren L. Carnes. My middle name is my maiden name. It's Locker. So Lauren L. Carnes is my Instagram. And I am popping in there daily and on stories all the time and would love to connect with you guys there. In my Instagram, you'll also find a link to be able to go ahead and jump on board with that email newsletter. I share content and value each week on Thursdays in the realm of photography tips and brand strategy and communications, and also some foodiness in there as well, some food photography and some recipes, just whatever kind of strikes my fancy that week. So it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of encouragement and also a lot of wine that will be popped into your inbox as well. If I could send you real wine via email, that would be my dream. I'm working on it. That's V2. So hopefully that'll come. But yeah, Lauren L. Carnes on Instagram. And you can just connect with me there. Feel free to actually respond to my Instagram posts and to my stories. I love to chat with you guys and to engage there. So that would be perfect.
Awesome. Lauren, thank you so much. I honestly, I feel like I'm a broken record because I always say this, but like, don't you feel like we could talk all day?
I do. It would be so fun. Let's do it. We'll do a coffee chat.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Thanks everybody for listening. And thank you, Lauren, so much for sharing your story today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. Check out show notes at photofieldnotes.com. And if you loved this episode, leave your review on iTunes. See you next week.